The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Advertising Corporation and the law offices of Matthew Simone. The views and opinions expressed are solely those of the host and guests and do not necessarily represent KCBQ or its sponsors. It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you don't like to see religions feuding with each other. For example, you frequently hear Christians accuse Islam of being a violent religion. Gee, where, oh, where would people get an idea like that? Actually, if you've followed this show over the years, then you know I have said many, many times on this program that I do believe there are a lot of peaceful Muslims in the world. I do. However, when examining the religion itself, not the way that people are interpreting their own religion, but the religion itself, its origin, the Quran itself, the teachings of Muhammad himself, the jihad really is commanded. It is. Now, be that as it may, Arabic Christian Perspective is an organization dedicated to loving Muslims and sharing with them the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Recently, they were repaid for this kindness by being arrested, and the arrested parties will be joining us shortly. First, some other news. Central California farmers, as you know, for quite some time, have been denied irrigation water because the Delta smelt is on our endangered species list. Hey, I have an idea that will fix and save our country. In fact, it's so simple. I'm surprised nobody thought about it before. Why not just put American citizens on the endangered species list? Then every Democrat in the country will be ushering in policies to truly stimulate the economy. But nobody stimulates our country like Sarah Palin. When Sarah talks, people listen. Sarah Palin put out a comment on Twitter calling upon Americans to protest the construction of a new mosque in the vicinity of Ground Zero. Her reasoning had nothing to do with the motives behind this project, as my reasoning would have, but rather sensitivity to the families of 9/11 victims. Predictably, Palin has come under attack from many. The charge? Racism, of course. Well, now, what else would it be? It had to be racism. Let's see. Some 3,000 were murdered in the name of a particular religion. And when it is suggested not that building mosques be forbidden, but merely that the spot of the murder might not be the best location for a new mosque out of all the other places in the city to choose from, then the accusation is racism. America, have you no shame? And now I will offer my own comments about the mosque, and I guarantee I'm not going to be nearly as gracious as Sarah Palin. Yes, indeed, New York City's latest $100 million project in the wings is a 13-story Muslim mosque that would loom proudly in the vicinity of Ground Zero, actually replacing a building that was ruined during the horrific attack. The justifications for this latest round of sheer stupidity and indecency toward the families of some 3,000 9/11 victims murdered in cold blood would be funny if they were not so tragic. Here's my favorite. Well, you see, building a mosque on this very site might help improve relations between Muslims and Westerners. Good one. It'll improve our relations. Yeah, that's why we're building it. Really, now, let me offer a better idea. Our relations will be repaired on the day Saudi Arabia allows just one church or synagogue in its country. Or maybe something akin to the Holocaust Museum. if it were constructed by the many peaceful Muslims with a statement about how disgusting 9/11 was and how true Muslims were going to speak out against not only terrorists, but all Sharia law and all suppression of Muslim governments toward Christians, Jews, women, and homosexuals, then yes, perhaps relations might be improved. You see, we are talking about a violent religion.
When Bob Siegel implies that Muslims don't really want peace, he isn't speaking about all Muslims, only some Muslims.
Thank you, Dan. We always appreciate the special assistance of Disclaimer Dan.
In fact, Bob heard just recently of a peaceful Muslim who was identified in Iceland. Anthropologists are working even now to confirm this man's existence, but Bob is confident that he, and at least three or four other peaceful Muslims, do dwell on our planet somewhere.
Thanks, Dan, but I think we need even more of a disclaimer. Obviously, that's an exaggeration. Naturally, there are more than three or four peaceful Muslims on the Earth.
Five or six, Bob?
Well, you're getting closer. Meanwhile, the imam slated to head this mosque is Imam Faisal Abdul Rauf, a great humanitarian who has gone on record to claim that the September 11th attack was not the work of Muslims. Indeed, he explained to CNN that the United States was an accessory to the crime and that Osama bin Laden was made in the United States. Well, so much for recent history. Some ancient history is also in order, and I'm reading from the terrorist expert Robert Spencer, his article, Why There Should Be No Mosques at Ground Zero. Spencer says the placement of mosques throughout Islamic history has been an expression of conquest and superiority over non-Muslims. Muslims built the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock on the site of the Jewish Temple in Jerusalem in order to proclaim Islam's superiority to Judaism. The Umayyad Mosque in Damascus was built over the Church of St. John the Baptist, and the Hagia Sophia Cathedral in Constantinople was converted into a mosque to express the superiority of Islam over Christianity. Historian Sitaram Gaul has estimated that over 2,000 mosques in India were built on the sites of Hindu temples for the same reason. Those were the words of Robert Spencer. Listen, my friend, you can try to ignore this. You can keep telling yourself how peaceful a religion Islam is. Maybe you have Muslim friends who insist this proposed eyesore in New York City means nothing more than a place of worship. Maybe they are telling you what they sincerely believe to be the truth. Maybe they themselves are being deceived. Or maybe they aren't deceived. Maybe they're merely trying to deceive you, since Muhammad taught that it's okay to lie in a time of war. Whatever they say. For whatever reason they say it, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. Here's what matters. While our country pats itself on the back for its politically correct sensitivity, the mosque at Ground Zero will serve as a sign of victory to many, many Muslims all over the world. Maybe not all of them, but many of them. It will particularly embolden Muslim terrorists who view our country as weak for allowing the thing to be constructed. That's right. The very people whom you are bending over backward to respect do not respect you. They plan to exploit you. They plan to rule over you. At that time, if you do not obey them, they plan to kill you. You may believe whatever you wish, but in your naivety, you are ignoring what they believe. It's just that simple. Will our country wake up before it's too late? Only time will tell. Meanwhile, the plans for the mosque continue and happy chanting is heard throughout the world. But I chant a lament for America.
Let us be lovers, we'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag. So we bought a pack of cigarettes and Mrs. Wagner Pie. Walked off to look for America. Kathy, I said as we boarded a Greyhound in Pittsburgh, Michigan seems like a dream to me now. took me 4 days to hitchhike from Saginaw. I've come to look for America. Laughing on the bus, playing games with the faces. She said the man in the gabardine suit was a spy. I said, be careful, his bow tie is really a camera. Toss me a cigarette, I think there's one in my raincoat. We smoked the last one an hour ago. So I looked at the scenery. She read her magazine, and the moon rose over an open field. Kathy, I'm lost, I said, though I knew she was sleeping. I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. In the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for America. All come to look for America. All come to look for America.
This is Bob Segal. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539. W&S Electric. Welcome back to the Bob Segal Show. I have two very interesting guests with me, and let me introduce them one at a time. David Wood is a Christian apologist who works with the Acts 17 Project, and also from time to time partners up with Arabic Christian Perspective. He has debated many Muslims openly and successfully. Recently, David has been in the news. He and three others were arrested at the Dearborn, Michigan Arab Festival, and he's here this afternoon to give us his side of the story. David, welcome to our program.
Good to be here, Bob.
Good to be here with you. And Mayor Jack O'Reilly, the mayor of Dearborn, is also here. Welcome to our show, Mayor.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Bob.
Listen, I've got to tell you, honestly, a lot of times when politicians are in a point of conflict, they're not willing to come on radio shows. And I didn't think you'd come, and you did. And I don't mind swallowing crow, and it's very much to your credit that you're here to give your side of the story. Thank you for being on our program.
Thank you for allowing me to. Thank you.
Okay, it's my pleasure. Well, I'm going to start with you, David. Why don't you back up and talk about what happened? I guess it was over a week ago now. And I know that things actually kind of got cooking last year at the 2009 festival. So take us from the top, because I know there's been a lot of contradictory chatter over this on the internet, and run us through the chronology a little bit, and then we will give Mayor O'Reilly a chance to respond.
Well, last year, Nabil and I were at the festival. This was a Sunday. And we'd been there on Friday, and we'd started hearing some complaints from some of the Christians At the festival, not all of them, but some of them were saying that security was trying to entrap them. So security would walk up to them if they could identify them as a Christian who was openly trying to evangelize, walking around and walking up to people evangelizing. Security would walk up to them and ask them for something. So they would say, "Hey, that's an interesting Bible you're holding. Could I look at it?" And as soon as security would try to hand them something, I mean, as soon as they would try to hand something to the undercover security guard, someone would snap a picture and take them over to the little police booth and say, "This person is distributing things. Look, we have it on camera." So we heard several complaints like that, and then it happened to me. In our video from last year, you see a woman in the video. This is a woman that grabbed the camera from Mary Jo, but she actually came up to me before any of this happened. She walked up to me, and she said, "I had a pamphlet in my pocket. I wasn't distributing anything. I wasn't there to distribute anything." But she walked up to me and she said, "Hey, that looks like an interesting pamphlet. Could I take a look at it?" And of course, I looked around and security's waiting all around for this. But I'd already heard this happen over and over again, so I refused. And it was shortly after that that Nabil went up to the Muslim booth. It had a sign up. We didn't walk up to random people and question them. We walked up to a booth that invited us to ask questions. And Nabil asked a question about Surah 929 of the Quran, which calls for Muslims to subjugate unbelievers. So he asked this question. We didn't really have a problem. We didn't have a problem with the Muslims at the booth. We had a problem that security came up to us and grabbed the camera from Mary Jo. And this bothered us.
Now, what did they claim was their reason for grabbing the camera?
They didn't. They walked up and they said, "Turn off the camera." And Nabil turns and he says, "If they're telling you to stop taping, stop taping." This is in the video. So Mary Jo is actually like fumbling for the turn off button when the female security guard came up and just grabbed the camera and pulled it down. And we went up and we talked to an off duty police officer and said, "Hey, can they come up and grab our camera?" And he said, "No, this is a public area. People can't walk up to you and grab your stuff." So that's when we went back to the booth and started recording again. And a few security apparently didn't like that. And a few minutes after that, security was actually slapping us around a little bit, kicking Nabil's legs. And so on. Well, we had all of this on video camera, so we put it out there on YouTube. That's what happened last year.
Okay, so let's see. They confiscated one of the video cameras last year.
They didn't confiscate anything. They didn't take anything from us.
Oh, okay. They just told you to turn it off.
Yeah, it seemed to be that some of the security guards were doing a good job, and it seemed like a couple of the other security guards just hadn't been well trained. They didn't know what they were allowed to do and weren't allowed to do. So a couple security guards seemed poorly trained and started slapping the cameras, not knowing that they weren't allowed to do this, whereas others seemed to know, "Hey, you don't do that."
Now, there were different booths at this festival. David, was your organization there with its own booth, or were you not allowed to have a booth?
We weren't even there for any of that. We were in town. We were in a nearby town for public debate, and we just went to the Arab festival. We weren't there to distribute anything.
But now, I know Arabic Christian Perspective, they used to have a booth there, but they did not have one up this year. Is that correct?
Arabic Christian Perspective, yeah, they had a booth last year. Yeah, they did have a booth
last
year.
And were they told that they could not have a booth this year?
Not that I know of.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I don't think there were any problems with that. I don't know of anyone being denied a booth at the festival.
Okay. I was under the impression that Arabic Christian Perspective did not have its booth up this year. But
no, they might not have had one. I'm just saying.
Oh, okay. They might not have had one, but as far as you know, they were allowed to have one. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and continue then. So you're talking a little bit about what happened last year. Let's key in more on more of what happened this year.
Okay, so after that last year, we put up a video, and we titled it Sharia in the U.S. because, you know, whatever anyone else's perspective is, our perspective was that people were harassing Christians who were openly evangelizing. If you sort of accepted your place at a booth and you didn't try to walk around engaging people in conversation, you were fine. But if you did, and I know this from tons of people, if you did try to walk around engaging in dialogue, security would look for an excuse to get you in trouble with the police. So we put this video out, and that's what happened last year. We got a ton of feedback from it. We got close to, I guess, 2 million hits on YouTube over the past year. And then we decided to go back this year. We had sort of mixed feelings about going back. We understand that, you know, lots of people aren't going to like us. We understand that security might be waiting on us. We really don't know what to expect. But we felt we should go back, make sure everything's okay, maybe get into some conversations. Maybe we meet some people who say, "Hey, that was wrong, what happened last year." because some people did, and even some Muslims contacted us and said, "Hey, you know, I don't agree with you guys, but I really have a problem with what they did to you last year." So we don't know what to expect this year. We don't know if people are just going to walk up and punch us in our faces, or if or if someone's going to stop us from going in. Or
had there been any actual threats last year?
Yes, we've got plenty of threats over there.
But there were also, just in the interest of fairness, there were also Muslims who said they didn't agree with the threats. And yes,
they were a minority. But they did voice themselves.
Yes, we did
get that. So we show up this year, and we really don't know what to expect. We start walking around the festival. It's clear that a lot of people weren't crazy about us being there. I mean, as soon as we walk in, a couple minutes after we walk in, someone walks up and says, "Hey, I have a question. Can you leave?"
That's a good direct question.
Yeah, so, I mean, at that point, we're walking around filming ourselves. Now, we realized that the main criticism of us last year was that we went up to this booth with the cameras recording. Now, we did get permission. We did get permission to record the conversation. The Muslims at the booth gave us permission twice.
You're talking about last year or this year when you got permission?
What I'm saying is that the criticism of what we did last year was that we walked up to people recording.
Oh, so this year you secured the permission to record ahead of time?
No, we made it a point not to go around recording anyone unless they came up to us first.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So, in other words, we understand that people, were upset last year thinking that we were going around recording people, which wasn't accurate. But this year we didn't want that to even be a possible accusation. So we talked to people who came up to us, and we didn't have to wait long. Nabil could just walk around for a few minutes, and he'd be surrounded by people, either throwing out accusations or asking questions about Christianity, things like that. So we're walking around, and we're actually on our way out of the festival. We're heading out, and ironically, Nabil had just given. We have this on the tape. We'll probably release it in a couple days, but it's right before we started. Walking out of the festival, and Nabil turns to the camera and he says, "Well, I'm really suppressed. I'm really impressed with police and security this year. No one's harassing us. No one's stopping us from talking. No one's attacking us. It really looks like an improvement."
Did he jinx it by saying something?
Yeah, and then he said the weirdest comment. It's actually kind of funny. He said, "And wow, I mean, it's been great here. Some people don't like us, but that's fine. It's fine. You don't have to like us." He said, "Unless something happens on the way out, this has been a great day."
Hit the fan after that.
Yeah, then we start walking out, and we didn't know, but just a couple minutes after that, Nagin is arrested. And
And now, what was the specific reason they claimed he was being arrested?
Nagin is a girl.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the specific reason she was arrested?
Well, we have the footage. People can see this on our website. But police walked up to her and said, "There's been a criminal complaint, and she needs to stop recording." And she said something along the lines of, "I don't think I can stop recording," or something like that. And then she started yelling, "Stop touching me! Stop touching me!" because one of them grabbed her arm. So then they arrested her. They took her off.
You also had this on your camera. Your camera went on at that point.
No, we had no clue. She was. I don't know how far she was away from us, but she was far enough away from us to where we didn't know anything had happened.
Okay, so if somebody saw this on YouTube, they'd see that abruptly stop because somewhere along the way her camera turned off.
No, they actually have her on camera. I mean, you can hear her voice yelling because one of the police officers, is grabbing her.
Okay, so even though the police officers, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to understand this. Even though he told her to turn off the camera remained on, and that's why you still have the footage of the whole thing?
Yes, I see. That's been posted on our website.
I see, okay.
And so we didn't know anything had happened, and we were standing in the tent, and a Muslim came up to us and started talking to us. He was kind of yelling at us and so on, but Nabil sort of diffused the situation. We walked out of the tent because we didn't want to cause a scene inside the tent or anything like that with yelling. We weren't going to be yelling, but the person who was yelling at us, we didn't even want that. So we went outside the tent and got into a dialogue there, diffused the situation. By the end, people are shaking hands, everyone's happy. And at that point, someone came up to Nabil and wanted to pray. So Nabil's praying with a man, and after that, there was kind of a final dialogue with a group of Muslims who were around Nabil. They start asking questions about Christianity. Well, first they're asking, why are you here? What are you doing here? Things like that. But after a few minutes, they're asking questions about Christianity. Nabil's answering the questions, and all of a sudden, police come up, put us all in handcuffs, take us away, take us to jail, put us in jail cells, and we find out later that we were screaming at people, we were harassing Muslims, we were aggressively engaging passersby.
Are those the specific charges? Are the charges harassment, or are the I understood there was something about blocking the sidewalk also.
As far as the official charge is breach of peace.
Okay.
So the question is, what did we do to breach the peace? And we've heard all kinds of things.
Yeah, that's a pretty general term.
Yeah, we were inciting a riot. We were screaming at people. We were doing all kinds of things. Now, the problem all along has been that we had video footage. We didn't have access to it for, I guess, 3.5 weeks because the police wouldn't give it back to
us. Okay, that's a good question, because you have talked a lot on the Internet about your footage being confiscated, and yet you've posted it. So it was confiscated, and then it was returned to you.
Yeah, it was.
All of it, or has any of it not been?
It was interesting, too, because the police confiscated our cameras immediately, and then the following Monday, so the next workday, they got a court order to a search warrant or whatever to copy all our footage. So they had a copy of our footage, and then for the next 3 weeks or so, we can't get a copy. We can't get our cameras back. We don't have any access to any of that. And the reason is obvious. They're spreading these charges around, all of these claims around about us, and we have conclusive video proof that these claims are all false.
Now, what do you suppose caused them to eventually return the footage to you then?
The judge told him to.
Oh, a judge finally ordered them to return the footage.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
And I was absolutely shocked that the footage was still there.
Yeah, you were expecting it, I imagine, to have been erased or something.
That's exactly what I was expecting. That's what everyone was telling me. I don't have a very high opinion of the Dearborn Police Department, but obviously there are some people in there who are pretty good guys. And we met a couple of police officers who we respect, but there are definitely some people in positions in there that will not hesitate to lie, to falsify police report, to falsely arrest you. So it seems to be a mixed bag.
Okay, well, we do have the mayor of Dearborn with us, so let's bring him on. Welcome again to our program, Mayor.
Hi, Bob.
Now, I guess this is going to be like reading the four different Gospels. I know you have a different account of this, so why don't you walk through this same scenario and give us your point of view?
Well, in a way, Mr. Wood did allude to some of the key points, which is that Christians have this year and in previous years been able to engage everyone in at the festival in terms of preaching the word of Christ, trying to evidence and witness the message of Christ and the value of embracing that message. We had 5 different Christian churches or organizations that were there at the booths handing out literature, engaging people. We had 2 other groups that were in an area where they were engaging people and being able to leaflet and didn't have to pay anything. It was free. They could have access. And that's all part of the rules for, we get over 200,000 people at this event, and it's on a commercial street. That we shut down, we close it off. It's no longer a public street, it's an event site. And so there are rules for event sites, and actually our police come to San Diego and get trained at a national training center that trains police and security people all the rules and what's allowable, what's not allowable, what's the best way to manage these, and we follow those national standards. And we've been upheld by the Supreme Court. We were challenged last year in the federal courts. We were challenged that the rules violated the First Amendment, and the court reviewed all the facts and determined no, the way we do it. So Christians are there in a lot of different roles, including 60 people from Impact International who come up, and they are Christians displaying that they're Christians, and they do support work. They help out at the festival. They do direction. So there is no restriction on spreading the word of Christ and evidencing the message of Christ. It's that there are rules about when you have 200,000 people coming to a site that's not very big, you have to manage crowd control, and you have to make sure that we don't have problems that could endanger people.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that I'm accurately assessing what you're saying. You're saying Christians have been allowed to come, they've been allowed to put up their own booth. There's no rule or law that's saying that a Christian could not share the gospel with somebody else, be they Muslim, be they anybody.
Quite the contrary. Some of the people that were there at our festival are are proselytizing to Muslims in Dearborn 365 days a year. And they're doing it without putting three cameras on the person they're talking to. I don't know what kind of real conversation occurs when you've got three cameras directed from different directions on a person you're trying to talk to about Christ. What really they're doing is drawing a big crowd, because they select people who are going to be volatile, going to be loud and so on, and expressive, and then that draws a big crowd. But the crowd was blocking passageways through the tents. They were drawing a crowd, blocking other ways. The site is not big enough to have, you know, that kind of activity, and that's why the rules exist in the first place.
Okay, now, so is the issue the camera, or is the issue the crowd blocking the walkway, or is it both?
It's the crowd blocking the walkway, creating a disturbance, and the charges were both disturbing the peace and failure to obey the lawful direction of a police officer. Those are the two charges.
Okay, now, I watched this dialogue with Nabil, and I did see people walking by the whole time. It didn't look to me on that video like the sidewalk was blocked. Certainly there was a crowd.
From the angle you saw, yes, because you're looking away from him. Behind him, where the tent was, there were people gathered, and they were pressed and trying to get around. So, you know, and again, you know, we have the unedited footage, and so I think that's going to be what the case is going to be on, is what's in the edited footage versus the unedited footage.
Okay, now let me, I read over with considerable interest the letter that you put out over, I guess it was the city's website, and you just...
I sent it to 5,600 people that emailed me.
Okay.
Got that response directly from me.
Now, in that letter, you mentioned that the acts, I understand your concerns about blocking the sidewalk, and we'll let David respond to that in a moment. But aside from that, I noticed other things in your letter is too. You said in there, quote unquote, that these are people who would promote hatred and lies. I'm wondering what you mean by that. And
well, I'm looking at the website and the way they're portraying, you know, our city and our events. And how they've edited it, they're stirring up people, and it's falsehood. I mean, we've had people like Kelly Boggs, who's a columnist for the Baptist Press, who has looked into this and done the research and come back and said she now understands that, you know, what we're doing, and she's published that. So if people will look at all the facts instead of the edited, you know, material that's been massaged to a message they want to have. And their message is very against the people who live right here in our community. And I find that not to be, as I said, we have people in this community who are trying to convert Muslims every day, and they're trying to do it in effective ways, providing services, engaging them, helping them with language skills, helping their children with homework, doing programs for their children, where they're really exposing these people to the values of Christ's message in a real and meaningful way. And that's the kind of thing that they're trying, they're getting people stirred up, they're getting people to hate us. I mean, you should hear some of the phone messages and email messages that we've gotten, which have people just unfortunately so emotional that they're not behaving, unfortunately, very Christian-like.
Okay, now, so are you claiming that the hatred and lies are what they're stirring up in the aftermath about the event, or did you mean that they had come to this event for the purpose of stirring up hatred and lies?
Oh, I think they come to the event to further their purposes.
And what do you feel their purpose is?
Their purpose is to attract people on the Internet to their cause and to their message. And I understand that, but they're using or basically abusing us to do that, and I think that's what's wrong.
You also said in your letter they have yet to share truth faith with anyone in Dearborn. What did you mean by that?
Well, I don't see them converting people to Christ and bringing them to Christ. They're confrontational. We have that on tape. Their own tape shows. You know, they're baiting people. They're looking for volatile personalities. You know, when you're going to move someone deeply, not just emotionally, but deeply in their thoughts, you're going to have an earnest conversation. These are not earnest conversations. These are performances. They're drawing people around. They look to get a good crowd. They pick the mark that they want that's going to react in an emotional way, so they know they're going to get some good interaction, some good charge up these people and get a big crowd around. And again, if that's what they want to do, that's fine. But at our event, it's against our rules because it's creating a situation that can end up being a problem with crowd control and so on.
Mayor O'Reilly, did you hear anything different about their message? message then? Because it sounds like you're not opposed to the Christian message, but it still sounds like you hear something different
Christian,
in their message.
I don't have a problem with the Christian message. Like I said, we have a great community of faith in this town. We are open to everything. We have two free speech zones. We have two places where anybody that wants to exercise free speech can go without permits, without any prior approval. I mean, we're not constricting or trying to restrain anyone. We're just saying you got to do it within the rules. You've got to do it so that it doesn't create a potential harm. And as it turned out, we had to vacate the site for weather. Shortly after this happened, we had to evacuate the site safely and get everybody out of there when this big storm passed through.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, obviously, I didn't watch all of these videos, but I did watch one entire conversation, the one with Nabil Kershai. I'm probably not pronouncing his name correctly.
Kershai.
But it seemed very friendly. People were asking questions. He was saying, thank you. That's a good question. It certainly didn't sound hateful. It certainly didn't look manipulative to me.
It's the stirring up. He knows how to prompt people, and we've got this on video. He's got it on video. If he wants to share it, fine. He said on his own site, we can use it. We're going to. But it shows that kind of, I'll call it baiting, finding a personality that can bait into getting volatile and getting expressive. And again, that makes great copy, you know, for film. It gives you a good sound bites and so on, but I don't think it's meaningful conversation.
Okay. I got to say, I didn't see that baiting, but why don't we let David Wood, go ahead and respond to the mayor.
Well, the mayor has offered a ton of accusations. Let me go through them as quickly as possible so we can address some issues. He said he has a problem with us walking in there with three cameras on a person. Well, why do we need cameras on a person? We've seen in Dearborn that everyone, up to and including the police department and the mayor, is willing to lie about us. The only thing that's exonerating us, the claims against us, is the fact that we have video cameras. So I'm sure the mayor would love it if we were to walk in there and not have cameras rolling. That way, when he says we're blocking an entrance, we were harassing people, we were screaming at people, we were causing a riot, that way we wouldn't be able to prove our innocence. But it doesn't work like that. If we find out someday that the people in Dearborn who are running security and running police are honest and aren't going to lie about us, we won't have this problem. But we saw last year, we saw this year, there are all too many people willing to lie about us, and so we need our cameras for protection. Second, he said we select people who are volatile. Again, in the video footage, you'll see we didn't select anyone. People came up to us. Now, you could say more volatile people are inclined to come up to us to engage in dialogue because maybe they're quicker to, they're more aggressive or something like that, so they're more inclined to come up to us and talk. But that has nothing to do with us being selecting people who are volatile. We didn't select anyone. People came up to us. He says that Nabil was baiting people. If you look at what happened, you find the exact opposite. You find people come up to Nabil in an extremely aggressive, confrontational manner, and 5 minutes later, they're shaking hands. They're friends a few minutes later. They're departing on peaceful terms. So Nabil is actually diffusing situations, not increasing the hostility. He says we're blocking a walkway, and that it's only through editing that or he says that people were behind me. That's false. We actually have two camera angles. You see the same scene from two different camera angles. And if the mayor thinks that this is just through editing, well, I'll just point out that we had the entire scene there. We had the entire last dialogue. There are no cuts in it. But if the mayor would like me to post the unedited footage, I have no problem doing that. So people.
Well, actually, don't the police now have a copy? So obviously, yeah, if the police confiscated it, you could prove whether it's edited right there.
Yes, yes. The police have a copy, but what I'm saying is I'm willing to release the unedited footage so people can get away from this claim. There might have been a few people standing behind me, but people, you can see, during the footage from the camera angles, people are walking in and out of these tents left and right. And don't forget, you have police on tape where I asked the police, should we move to the side? And the police said, no, you're fine. So here you have the mayor saying, we were blocking an entrance, we were in the way, that's why they arrested us. But I specifically asked the police if we should move, and the police said, no, you're fine. So here it seems the mayor is really going against the police work there.
Okay, well, gentlemen, this is a very interesting conversation. Let's go back through this now, Mayor O'Reilly. Let's go back to these counterpoints of David Wood, and then I'm going to give you a chance to counter his counterpoints, but let's do them one at a time. He claims that they asked the police if what they were doing was fine, and the police said it was. What is your response to that?
Well, it's not according to the rules. of the site. When this site is, the city council has to vote. This is not a city event. It's an event sponsored by groups in the city, and we pass a resolution where we say for the 3-day period, this zone is no longer a public zone. It's a festival or event site, and that's done all over the country. And then there are rules that apply within it.
Okay, so were the policemen themselves misunderstanding the rules?
If someone said they were fine engaging people and drawing engaging people in that way where they were drawing a crowd and then yes, they were wrong.
Well, then wouldn't that be something to take into consideration with this case, and shouldn't the policeman be reprimanded instead?
Well, we will when we see what happens. I mean, again, this.
Okay,
is
so you're willing to take a second look at that on the
and the there'll be okay. All the evidence will be presented, and then there'll be an outcome.
So you're willing to take a second look at the video footage of the police. Where they claim the police told them what they were doing was okay.
And I'm sure that's going to be used in their case.
Okay, so. Now they have a different view. We've heard both versions. Again, you say they were blocking the walkway. They say they weren't.
Walkway, it's actually the street. The street is closed off, and the tents extend from almost curb line to curb line. So the entire, the tents that we're talking about are these very large tents, and they basically take the whole street they occupy the entire street. So when we're talking about this, we're saying the passageways, because between the tents are where people are bottlenecked into the tent, and they have to come out, and they move to other tents or to the rides or to other parts of the festival site, the entertainment site, and so on. And we have large entertainment, too, that come in, and so there's a lot of people gathered around for that. So we try and design the site to make sure that we can keep people moving, we can keep areas open, and we also don't want to have something, if something's going to go on that could get to a point where it might lead to people getting angry and getting into fights and stuff, we've got to be sure that we're keeping the lid on that so it doesn't...
Yeah, I understand that. I think everybody would be sensitive to the fact that there needs to be crowd control and nothing blocked, but when I mentioned that I had seen people still walking by, you said, well, that's from one angle, and then David countered that by saying that there was more than one camera and more than one angle. Yeah, so what would you say to that?
Well, there are at least three cameras, and we have the footage, they have the footage, so that will be part of the evidence presented.
Okay. Now, also, David responded by saying that they were not approaching people. People were approaching them, that they were not, in fact, selecting people, that people came up to them, some of them friendly, some of them belligerent, but that they were not the ones.
The evidence is going to be shown, and I don't want to give away what we've observed and
okay.
So on, but I would just say that will be a pivotal issue that will be discussed in the trial.
Okay, and then finally, David said that their reason for bringing cameras had to do with the way they felt they were treated last year, and they felt they needed an honest record of what was going on.
They had four or five people shooting cameras last year at people. I mean, and that was in their thing, too, is when they edit it, it looks like it's one camera, but then we know, and there is other footage that shows, that there are all these people. And I'm only saying, how do you get into a conversation, an honest, direct conversation with someone when you're pointing cameras at them? People behave differently. They react differently when they're on camera versus when you're just eyeball to eyeball having a real conversation.
Okay, I have a rather unusual question, Mayor, and possibly because of the case pending, it might not be something you're able to answer. And if that's true, I would understand that. But let's just say worst-case scenario. Supposing they really were blocking the flow of traffic, supposing they really were approaching people, I guess to many it would seem like this is pretty low-level stuff. Does it really rise to the level of people being arrested? What kind of sentence is the district attorney looking for
this? It would not. This is not going to result in any serious sentence or anything. But, Bob, here's the thing. They were here last year with their cameras. They know the site. They know the rules. The rules have to apply to everybody. We can't say, well, it's okay, this group can do that, because they have cameras and this group can't and so on. The rules have to apply to everybody. So the point is they knew what they were doing. They knew I don't know if they intended to be arrested, but they knew that there was a likelihood that they could be in trouble for violating those rules because the rules, were explained to them the last year. I mean, that we have a site here that it's not, for example, they say leafleting on sidewalks. The sidewalks, the whole site is identified legally as an event site. It's no longer what we'll call a truly public site.
Now, you actually said, sir, in your letter again that I read that they did pretend to be arrested. Are you talking about some confrontation with the police?
Oh, no, that was the issue, and I know Mr. Qureshi on his thing said the arrest occurred Friday night. on a video that they posted, they showed their people kind of leafleting in an area by the roller coaster, the rides, and they suggested they were detained, and then the next thing they talked about was the arrest. And most of the people who wrote us and called us thought that it was after that that they were arrested, when in fact they've been arrested before that happened.
Okay.
I had said in my letter Saturday, it turned out I was corrected by Mr. Qureshi on his video.
Okay, so that's been corrected. Okay, let's go ahead and let David Wood. David, go ahead and respond again to some of what you've heard.
Well, I'm glad the mayor has dropped his claim. It seems that we were ordered to break things up and that we refused. That was a major issue. If police had ordered us to break things up and we'd refused, I would think that is an issue. But it never happened, as he said in his letter that it did. But I'm glad that he sees now that it didn't. He says we're blocking tents. I would just invite everyone to examine the video footage. You can see two different camera angles on this. On our website, the mayor said three, but Nagin had already been arrested by this time, so we had two cameras. So you can see two different camera angles, and you don't just see us there gathered together. You see people walking in and out of the tent. I don't know how we're blocking a tent that people are busy walking in and out of. He says that people were getting angry. Again, watch the footage. You see the exact opposite. You see people approach us and they're angry, but a few minutes later they're having an open, honest dialogue. And here again, I mean, if you're going to say, hey, people were getting angry, well, why not ask us to leave? Why not tell us to break it up? Why not do something like that instead of just putting us in handcuffs, putting us in jail cells, and then lying in the police report, saying we were screaming at people, saying we're yelling at the crowd, saying we're inciting a riot, which we obviously weren't. He again says he really has a problem with three cameras. He said we had four to five cameras last year. We didn't. We had two cameras. And he says, how do you get into a conversation with someone if you've got cameras on them? Well, it's very simple. You make sure it's okay, as we did last year. So last year we made sure it was okay that we were recording, and it was okay with the Muslims at the booth. I'll just emphasize this again. If anyone watches that what happened last year and gets a negative impression of the Muslims at the booth, we had no problem with them. It was the security. It was the security officers. So last year we did have problems, and it was the cameras that exonerated us, because they actually tried to accuse us of distributing leaflets, which we weren't. And it was the cameras that showed exactly what happened. So we understood this year that people might be ready to lie about us, people might attack us, all kinds of things could happen. And so we had to have video cameras. And again, if we didn't have those video cameras right now, people would be saying all of these charges against us, we were inciting a riot, we were harassing people, we were screaming at people. We wouldn't be able to prove our innocence here. So it's very interesting that everyone keeps saying, all the people who are spreading falsehoods about us are saying, well, stop using the cameras. It's like they're saying, stop using the cameras so we can accuse you of things and you can't defend yourself. He says he doesn't want to give away what's in the footage. I invite him to give it away. I mean, come on, this is people are watching. People want to see exactly what we did. The real reason not to give anything away is that there is nothing. You can look at all of that footage. We did nothing wrong, certainly no violation of any rule or definitely any law. He says we know the rules. He's right, we know the rules, and we followed all the rules. Nabil called the chief of police beforehand to make sure there were no rules that we need to be aware of that we might be breaking.
Is there a record of that phone conversation?
Huh?
Is there a record of that phone conversation?
You're free. Anyone is free to verify that phone conversation with Chief Haddad. So far, as I know, he's not denying it. But we were told it's fine. So I confirmed this at the booth with the police officers. They said cameras are allowed. So cameras are allowed. Conversations are allowed. Even if we weren't told that, hey, if 10 people start getting around you for a crowd, suddenly you're in violation of some rule. We had no clue about any of that. And the fact is, it's not a rule. There's no rule about any of this. Yes, if we were blocking a tent. Yes, if we were causing a problem, you could say this. But we were engaging in dialogue with people who came up to us. We had cameras. They knew we were recording. So obviously, we didn't do anything. We didn't do anything wrong. So again, I have no clue. I have no clue why the city is going forward with these charges, except for the fact that they're embarrassed about what happened last year. They're embarrassed about what happened this year, and they're trying to get back at us. And by the way, we have several videos still coming out. We invite everyone to watch the footage we have up and the footage to come.
Okay, David, I've asked some tough questions to the mayor. Let me ask you one. Is there anything about this that you would do differently? Anything
yes,
you could
absolutely.
Concede? Or do you...
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
It would be last year, we did approach the Muslims at the booth. They were fine with us recording. But after security got involved, and we went back to the booth. We went back to the booth with the Muslims. And when we went back that second time, it wasn't really about dialogue. It was more a statement of our freedom of speech because our security had grabbed our camera. And so we went back to the booth. And at this point, we weren't really interested in dialogue. We were interested in security, understanding you cannot grab our cameras, and we wanted to make sure they understood that. But I felt, and I'm here on record saying it, I felt that the Muslims at the booth sort of may have looked bad as a result of that, like they had a problem or like we had a problem with them, when we didn't. They were perfectly reasonable.
So you were more upset at that point with the police than with the Muslims, yeah, and you feel that the poor Muslims got caught in the middle of it, kind of.
Exactly. That was actually between us and the security guards. It was a dispute between us and the security guards about what we had the right to do, and the Muslims at the booth kind of got caught in the middle of it. So we issued a statement about this on our YouTube account saying we didn't have a problem with them. They just got caught in the middle of it. But I'll say it here again for anyone who didn't catch that YouTube video. I certainly would have taken extra precautions so that anyone who's not involved in the dispute doesn't somehow get involved inadvertently.
Okay. I'm trying very hard to give each of you as equal time as possible, so I'm going to allow Mayor O'Reilly to respond again to anything that was just said the last few minutes.
The only thing, Bob, you had mentioned police, and Mr. Wood correctly said last year it was the security guards. And I don't disagree that they were not properly trained and did not handle it as well as they could have. This year we required that security guards went through training with the Dearborn Police, that we had background checks, and that we really made sure that these people knew what they were doing. But this year it was our own police officers who were well trained, and as I said, actually have specific training for special events. So again, you know, the case will stand on its own merit. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on. I think I've tried to make my point. I understand Mr. Wood has a very different point of view, but we've had this event for 15 years. It's been a peaceful event. We've never had any big issues. It's a cultural event. It's not a religious event, but religion is not barred in any way in playing a role.
I can appreciate that. I guess for me, just as one that's just kind of listening to both of you, the part that still jumps out, and I guess it will be only settled in the courtroom and not here, is that David is claiming that permission from some of the police officers was secured. So I believe you when you say the police were trained, but it seems that if one or two, and maybe it was only one or two policemen made a mistake, I don't know. That might just be grounds for dismissing this.
Well, and we'll see. I mean, the judge will review that. I want to make it clear that I'm not saying, and no one is saying, you cannot film at the site. Other people can film. The filming is not the site. It's the combination of what they do, where they draw and create a large a group of people, and that becomes an issue, and it's something, that we don't want to happen because of the heavy traffic in the site, and there's very heavy foot traffic, people moving through, there's booths all along there, there's food, everything else, so it's the kind of thing that we're trying to keep that site, from having obstructions or people, creating an obstruction or creating a potential problem where people might have to trip, so it's really just a site containment. It's really trying to protect the public. And again, as I said, it'll play out, but I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it's a challenge to keep something like that under control. One more quote from your letter. You said that they arrive in Dearborn with the intent to disrupt the festival. Do you really think,
that's
David,
my personal opinion, because I don't see that they're engaged in a way that they're going to really be helping people understand and embrace the message of Christ. But again, that's my...
Okay, so you're admitting that's only your opinion?
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant in the letter. That letter is my personal letter. It's not a statement.
Now, you've already mentioned you don't have any problem with a Christian sharing their faith with a Muslim. Do you have a problem with Christians bringing up some of these passages about the jihad, like in Surah 9? David seems to be of the opinion that that was where a lot of the contention...
No,
grew from.
As I said, we have churches here in Dearborn that work this ministry 365 days a year, and they're dedicated, they're devoted, and they've had some real successes. So what I'm saying is, this is what goes on in a community that's open, we're open, but it has to be done in the right way. They don't want to participate in the way that the other Christian groups did. They want to do it their way. And up to a point, they have the right to do it. When that they're doing it their way creates a potential for a public safety issue, then we have to step in.
Okay, gentlemen, we're down to just the last couple of minutes. I want to give each of you a chance to give a closing statement. Before we do, I want to thank both of you for coming on. This certainly made interesting radio, if nothing else. I enjoy feisty conversations. And also, I want to say to both of you, you were both very gracious. You didn't talk over each other. So that's very much to the credit of both of you. David Wood, any last thoughts for just a minute?
Well, the mayor did bring up an important point. He said they've never had any major issues for 15 years of the festival. And yet, this year and last year, we see some major issues. We see last year people being attacked. We see this year people being hauled off in handcuffs and put in jail for having a peaceful dialogue on the street there. What's the difference? What happened in these last 2 years that made this change? Because Christians were, for years, openly handing out things, openly handing out pamphlets. And I think what happened is, for the past 2 years, the city decided, hey, we're not going to allow Christians to distribute things freely, walking around and handing them out. And security last year took that a step further, and they were actually going to try to stop Christians from having conversations on the street.
Okay, Mayor O'Reilly?
Well, Mr. Wood just made my point. The difference in the last 2 years is that Act 17 apologetics came. Up until that point, we hadn't had a problem. And Christians, there's no change in the policy. Christians are free. As long as they're doing it the ways that are authorized, they are absolutely welcome and encouraged to be part of the.
All right. Well, gentlemen, you are both welcome to come back on this show anytime. This is Bob Siegel, and we will see you all next week.
Bob Siegel Show on KCBQ is sponsored by Bob Siegel.